It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
The NBA season is in full swing, and when I can't get enough of the action on the court, I spice things up betting on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Right now, new customers bet $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets.
This is the best time of year as an NBA fan. I'm locked into the Lakers games coming down to the stretch and into the playoffs. As long as it's not the Nuggets in the first round, I think they could pull off an upset. North Carolina listeners, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Jenkins. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code Jenkins. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. This is a YouTube exclusive of our response to the Draymond Green, Klay Thompson interview, which we got early. One of the perks of having the same producer as Draymond is being at the Volume. We did get to see the interview a little early, and I think all three of us thought it was. I think it doubled the amount of words I've heard Klay Thompson say in his entire career is, I think, where I would start. I don't think we've ever heard Klay talk this much or watch him kind of sit through thinking of an answer and then actually really expound on something. So that was my number one takeaway was, oh, this is more of Klay Thompson than we've ever got.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I never thought Klay was like a shy bachelor dude. I just thought he's a dude who just, you know, speaks when needed. You know what I mean? I don't think he's a guy who's at a loss for words. But yeah, it was definitely some good insight into Klay's character. Some good insight into kind of, you know, the team dynamics as well. You know, the locker room dynamics of Golden State. You know, a few things there that kind of surprised me. So yeah, we'll for sure get into that. But it's a really, really good interview.
I thought he was shy. I thought he was more comfortable playing basketball than in front of the camera speaking. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, It seemed like he was super comfortable. I mean, probably because he's with Dre, somebody he spent, 12 years playing basketball with. But, yeah, it was a lot of good insight to him. It made me a bigger fan of who than what I already was. So.
Bro, I never thought Klay was shy. The first moment where I knew this dude was different was after that 2015 championship when during media week he was up there and Doc Rivers or something sent some shots at the Warriors. And mm-hmm. I remember Klay was up there eating some sunflower seeds. Like, didn't they blow a 3-1 lead? They need to worry about that. I was like, I was like, this dude is different. Talking shit, eating sunflower seeds. Like, I was like, bro, I like this dude.
I think one thing I would say, and he mentioned his brother who's you know, major leaguer. Klay's a baseball player, bro. Like, he's the, you know what I mean? Like, he's the best shooter, like, you know, by, I would agree with Dre, by form, like, probably the best shooter in history. But, like, he's a baseball player, bro. He's just, like you say, he has one mode. He does not get real high. He does not get real low. I'm going to eat these C's and talk shit, or, you know, whatever else. I thought the most standout moment of the whole interview, and y'all tell me if you agree, and then I want your thoughts on it, was Draymond going, it sounded like, I wish Jackson was here, we could ask him. I think Draymond went off script and just clearly they were comfortable enough in the interview. He was like, let me ask the question I really want to know, which is how angry are you and Steph? How do y'all really feel when I get kicked out of a game? I thought that was, first of all, I thought Dre was like genuinely pretty emotional asking the question. You can almost feel the fear of like, I don't really want to know what you think about this, but I, you know, respect the listeners enough to know that I have to ask this question. But how did y'all respond to that moment? And what did you think we learned about either one of them from that exchange?
I thought that conversation led into a good discussion on what exactly leadership is. Because, you know, Klay mentioned how without Dre, you know, Klay basically mentioned that, you know, Steph leads by example, but you are our vocal leader. Right. Like, you are the one who kind of gets us going. You're the engine behind us. You're the one who's getting in these young guys' ears and helping mold them, helping develop them, telling them how to be smarter, more productive basketball players. He was like, you know, when you're not there, we lose a big part of that. And you know what I mean? And I think that Klay was using some motivation there, because I'm sure that Klay said things like this to him similarly before. Right. But he added a new wrinkle there. Was like, and I know the opponents are happy when you're not there. Right. And, you know, Drake that probably was like, yeah, you know, because Drake does not like those motherfuckers that he's going up against on the court. So, you know, I thought that was a little masterful ploy by Klay. And also something that stuck out to me in Klay's answer was when Klay was like, you know, me and Steph are nice guys, probably a little too nice right there. And it was like the connotation there was Klay was like, I probably should have lit into your ass a few times, you know, when you were out here wilding, but that just ain't me. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it was, like I said, it was a really interesting conversation where I thought that, you know, the discussion they had on, you know, what exactly leadership is, you know, the different forms of leadership, how you just don't need to have, you know, one figurehead as a leader was very insightful.
What I thought was interesting was we talk about Dre and how important he is on the court. We see that all the time. You know, we talk about, like, you know, Steph is the most important player on the basketball team. You know what I mean? But Dre is the coach. Dre is a quarterback on defense and offense. He gets everything going. You feel what I'm saying? But I didn't think about what it would be like to miss that guy in film. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In practice, talking to the young guys. You feel me? Having him away, like, you know, building up the young guys, giving them that game. I didn't think about that. I never thought about that. So I thought that was really insightful and interesting. But also, I thought it was beautiful to see, like, you know, like Draymond, he truly cares how Klay and Steph feel about him. Like, those are his guys. These aren't just teammates. These are people who he cares how they think about him as a human being. You feel me? And it kind of spoke to that in the emotion. You could see that when he was asking the question. And then also you could see how he was truly, like, you know, it seemed like he was humbled or, you know, moved by the answer. You know, like, it's, you know how important you are. You know, I mean, he has to know how important he has been to their success. He's a future Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? But to hear the guys that you care the most about say, you know, hey, we need you. We've always needed you. And this is why we need you. I mean, that's kind of, that was beautiful. You could kind of see he was a little moved by that too. But he was almost, you know, at a loss for words, you know, initially. Yeah. So, and we don't ever see Draymond at a loss for words. You feel me?
Yeah. Well, but I think you hit it on the head though. Like, what was interesting was, I mean, and, you know, this is why people are drawn to the big players who have podcasts. Like, we've seen how many hours have we spent watching the Warriors on television?
Right.
But this was a completely different look at that big three that's been their core through, you know, these championship runs of, you can see how much, like you said, Draymond looks up to those dudes and that they appreciate him. But also there were certain comments Dre made that Klay didn't brush off. Like, Klay knows, yes, but there is a difference between the dudes who make buckets and the dudes who are the leaders and facilitating the defense, right? And I, you know, I love the comment when Dre said, you know, when y'all have your statues and they could put my bobblehead right there. And, you know, and then when he said too, he said, you know, when people say you'd be nothing without playing with Steph and Clay, I don't say anything to it, you know, because those are his guys. He doesn't have to know what it would be like for him to play without Steph and Clay. Because at this point, whatever happens with free agency or whatever, you know, there's 12 years. I thought that was like kind of genuine maturity from Draymond of like, my legacy's already set. I won number of championships with these two all-time greats. I contributed in these ways. You know, I think the three of us talked about the last time he got suspended. That's why it's so surprising to me. He just doesn't have an ability to downshift. And you could hear him talking about Steph and Clay are downshifting. Their routines are different. They don't spend all their free time doing shooting contests with each other and shit. Like everyone is kind of growing up and leaving the treehouse a little bit, you know? But Draymond still like, no, I have to get out there and be as belligerent with the refs and with the other team, you know? And it's, you can kind of see that. It's like there's almost like a twinge of sadness, I feel like, at the way that that dynamic has changed between the three of them.
For sure.
I was almost a little shocked by how much they, I mean, obviously they still care about winning, right? But like hearing them talk about, like hearing Clay talk about, like, we're still in the mix, like how important it is for them to have a chance every year. You know, it's we're having down years, you know, but we're still in the mix. Like we still can get some shit, make some shit shake, get some shit done. You feel me? So that was interesting to me too. But also like listening to this, it made me realize we've heard Dre speak a lot. We've heard Steph speak a lot. Out of those three, you know, the core of this dynasty, I feel like Clay has it most figured out on the life end. You know what I mean? We're like, I don't want to say most figured out, at least the way that I'd want to exist. You feel me? Where he has drives his boat to work every day. When he talked about, you know, free agency, of course I want to play with y'all, but I have, you know, I'm looking at all the things I have to deal with. And also talking about how he doesn't want to look forward to July because he wants to stay in the moment. I deserve it. You know, I have earned the right to enjoy this last year. I think that's really beautiful and important. You know what I mean? For niggas like us to hear, you know, people to hear, you know, regular people to hear, like being in the moment and how important it is. Now you've earned the right to do that. So yeah, bro, I thought that part was really relatable. There's 99.9% of his life is completely unrelatable. I've never been a third of as good as anything as he is at everything he does on a basketball court. You feel me? But hearing stuff like that was really dope. You know, that's stuff I could take with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he had that moment where he said, when Draymond asked him about, you know, his upcoming free agency, and he was like, you know, I had like four conversations with Steve Kerr, and it just kind of hit me where I was just like, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to enjoy the moment. He's like, I'm not the 25 point per game guy anymore. I'm not the lockdown defender I was anymore. But, you know, I built something special here. He was like, you know, I remember when we went on the road and we'd see one or two Steph jerseys in the crowd. Now when we go on road games, they're everywhere. He's like, you know, I'm just kind of soaking all that in. And he was like, you know, like you mentioned, he found a really good balance of soaking in the moment, appreciating what they've done, but still, you know, giving his all and believing that they're a competitor who can, you know, have a shot at a championship. So like you said, Clay's figured it out, man. It seems like he has a real good balance on this shit.
Yeah. I also,
y'all think he might be the odd man out?
I got this sense from him. Tyler, tell me if you disagree, that he's at a place of understanding that it might be worth taking less money for him to stay a part of that experience. You know, you can kind of see him pushing against when guys are in a situation like that, their agents are in their ear every day. Don't, you know, because once you put that out there, the team goes, cool, vet minimum. You know what I mean? So the agents don't want him to say that. But I felt like he was implying that that was what his priority was going to be. Tyler, did you agree?
Right. That's exactly what I took from it. Because like I said, he said, I'm not the 25-point game guy anymore. I'm not the lockdown defender anymore. He's someone who's fully aware of his talent level and what his talent level should probably dictate on the free market, right? So I don't think he's going to have delusions of wanting a big payday and what we're just going to have, like, you know, some team who just thinks that Clay is going to put, you know, seats in the stands and like Charlotte, who's going to throw a big bag at him or something. Right. So I don't think he's going to fall victim to that. I think he's probably going to, you know, negotiate with Golden State and come to something reasonable. I think he's going to retire a Warrior.
I agree.
I think also what was interesting, too, was him talking about his agent, you know, and like I knew agents were there to get you, you know, money from the squad and work helping you in that way. You feel me? I didn't know how much they negotiated and how important it was business-wise, where they almost are the leaders of your business philosophy. You know what I mean? How you approach business and how you approach your brand. And so that was really interesting to me. Like, oh, that's what agents do. Like, you know, that's why it's such a it's a very all-encompassing gig when it comes to the person's entire brand. Right. So like when you're changing an agent, you're not just changing the person, you're changing the philosophy in which you approach, you know, being a business or existing as yourself in the world, you know? So that's really interesting to me. I thought that was really dope. When them breaking that down, like, you know, why Draymond went with Rich Paul. Well, he didn't really speak to it, but he insinuated him going to Rich Paul because in this part time of his career, that's really important. So,
yeah,
I mean, he might not get the bread he wants from the Warriors or maybe even deserves, you know what I mean? But, you know, the agent will find other ways in order to make sure he ain't shorted in any way, you know, and, you know, he'll get creative in that way. But I think that opened my mind to like why somebody would, hey, I want to, it's probably better for his brand to stay with the Warriors, which will equal more money long term because that NBA money is a certain amount of money, but the brand, the endorsements, you know, you can really push that if you're popping, you feel me? And being alongside those two is good for him.
But like, you know, yeah. Economic partnerships in the city, entrepreneurship, having a deeper base in one city means more. You know what I mean? In terms of those connections and stuff, for sure. I gained a lot of respect. Tyler just referenced the conversations Clay said he had with Steve Kerr. I had a lot of respect for Steve in that because, you know, that's not an X's and O's thing, but that's what I think we all know Steve Kerr as, is a great manager of those personalities and those dynamics. But to be able to be a good enough human being to say to this dude, I'm not just going to throw minutes at you, even if I don't think that's what's best for the team, but I do want you to be in the right mindset to appreciate where you are. You've earned the right to have a season, like, not just by being great, but by coming back from the injuries and everything else too. You've earned the right to just love being an NBA player. And I guarantee you part of what Steve Kerr is telling him is, you can work around basketball your whole life, but it will never be anything like putting a uniform on and actually playing. You know, and Steve Kerr's got a great perspective on that. I'm sure that's part of what he's communicating is, man, I coach all these teams. I would trade all that shit for one game. You know, where I could go out there and get hot or whatever. I thought that was beautiful.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The other coach, I was surprised that they opened up by giving so much love to Mark Jackson, because I feel like you don't really hear a lot of that when people are talking about the Warriors. But Mark Jackson is such an interesting figure in those guys' careers and in the history of that dynasty, because as the two of them acknowledged, you know, it's Steve Kerr's offense, the ball movement, all that stuff obviously unlocked quite a bit with them. But Mark Jackson really was the first one who said, if I was a point guard who could shoot like Steph, I would shoot from wherever, whenever. And he was a coach that trusted that. They said, yeah, I'm not going to try and say, hey, you're in the NBA, we play X way now. I'm going to encourage this dude to be him. I'm going to give him a green light in places no one else would necessarily give him a green light. I thought that was really interesting that they spent the first, I think it was really like the first question, just kind of trying to give Mark Jackson his flowers, and both of them like kind of campaigning for him to get a job too, which was surprising.
Yeah. I think that, the discussion they had on Mark Jackson, they were talking about how, you know, he said, this is the best backcourt ever. This is the best shooting backcourt ever, long before that was the consensus. Right. I think that the discussion there was the power of people believing in you, even if they're believing in you to a magnitude that you do not believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. Because Clay was like, you know, I wasn't even riding with that. But Mark Jackson saw something in us. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, there's been times where, you know, Steph has talked and there's kind of been like an illusion that, you know, Mark Jackson, I love this time here. I was not one of the people who wanted him out. Like, you know, Mark Jackson was a great coach for us. But, you know, Steve Kerr is our guy. But I was interested in how they weren't really on board with Steve Kerr's brand of basketball at first. Like, mm-hmm. that was a shocker for me. Right. Because for one, we didn't see the growing pains. We didn't see it translate on the court because, you know, when Steve Kerr came there, he unleashed them on another level. Like, they went up a whole another notch when Steve Kerr came there. So, we did not see the growing pains on the court. So that was interesting to me that you know, when Steve Kerr came along, his ball movement heavy schemes was something they weren't all the way in. But, you know, Draymond said that the line that Steve Kerr used to keep hammering down that sold him on it was the ball is going to find who it's supposed to. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's just been a Golden State's brand of basketball. Swing that motherfucker until we get the best possible look and we're going to knock that shit down. Right. So, yeah, that was interesting to me because, like I said, I knew that a lot of them thought that Mark Jackson had a raw deal. They thought Mark Jackson was their guy. We knew that Steve Kerr had to kind of fight that uphill battle from that perspective. But I did not know that he had to win them over on the court with the schemes and the X's and O's. So that was a revealer for me.
Yeah, like I've seen them show love to Mark Jackson. I mean, the masses as a whole don't talk about Mark Jackson as much. You feel me? But, you know, like, I've always seen them show love to Mark Jackson. And I do think they bring up, like, really interesting points. Like, he might not get you to the promised land. You feel me? But, like, you know, he'd be good for a lot of these young teams that would need somebody to put the type of confidence he put in, you know what I'm saying, Steph and Clay earlier in their careers. You feel me? But, yeah, I do wanted to have the same question. Like, why hasn't somebody given that man a shot, being that they saw he laid the foundation for probably the greatest team of all time? But yeah, I mean, I was shocked to hear that they, you know, were with when Kerr came in, how they were, you know, not comfortable with the offense. Like Tyler said, it seemed like it was something that they, oh yeah, we needed this. You feel what I'm saying? But I could mm-hmm. understand it going from, you know, hey, go get a bucket, or being hoopers to being a basketball team. You know what I mean? There's going to be a little bit of a transition when it's like, I can just go down here and pull this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You talk about transition threes and shit, which is something I still can't get used to. I saw one last night where I was like, why are you doing this? Unless you're Clay or Steph. You know what I'm saying? The fuck all that shit. But yeah, I can see how there could be a transition from going from just, hey, go get a bucket, to, hey, we got to play basketball. You feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also appreciated the window into, like, we always talk about, obviously, pro athletes, and especially the highest level pro athletes, like, these guys are so different from regular people, but they still have regular people soft spots on their brains. Like, they're still regular in the ways that you wouldn't necessarily expect them to be. You can see how much, and we know this obviously with the Warriors, you can see how much public narratives bother them. You can see how much, like Clay talked about, pundits. Yeah, like, I used to be on Twitter, man, all the time, yeah. And I'm, you know, not anymore. Like, I'm always fascinated by that, because I think we all have an idea, or we had an idea as kids, that if we could reach some level, that we would be like covered in armor. You know what I mean? That it would be like, cool. And in fact, it's like these guys did it. I thought they did a pretty good job of revealing what so many athletes like DeMar DeRozan and others who've talked about this. It's the opposite. You're just as sensitive and driven, but now there's 10 million people who know who you are and have opinions about you. You know what I'm saying? Like, which I think to all of the three of us, it's like, it sounds a little bit like a nightmare, you know? And so but I think that's part of that bond that they talked about with the three of them. That's like, they all went through this experience together. The Kevin Durant wrinkle, which I don't think his name was mentioned once in the whole interview. That in the history of basketball, that's a whole different wrinkle. But in the history of humanity, you have these three dudes who've been through this incredibly unique experience together, clearly have a bond between the three of them that like no one else really would fully understand or be able to speak on. And I just found that humanizing part of it interesting. And to me, even though I don't love all of the effects of like star athletes taking over media, that's the upside of it, is seeing that human side of what they're going through, seeing Draymond be emotional and nervous about asking his friend, like, are you mad at me? What, you know, when I get suspended. So I just love that humanizing side of him. And I appreciated that they took the interview. I think Draymond's a good interviewer, bro. Like he did a great job of getting that out of both of them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I thought was interesting too, was like, you know, and it makes me understand why they, you know, are so affected by how people talk about them. You know, like when you saw Klay talk about the injuries, he shuddered. He had a physical reaction. He looked uncomfortable. He'd been speaking about the time. And, you know, when people are talking about the injuries, we're just talking about them like they're just injuries. You know what I mean? When there's a guy on the other end. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, yeah. You feel me? Like there's a guy on the other end whose entire world, you know what I'm saying? Like who gravity has pulled them towards that their entire life for the most part. Isn't being able to play after, you know, like you said, for five seasons of playing, you know, playing it all the way to the finals, is not able to play the game for 2 years. You know what I mean? I mean, I see seeing him like shake his head and like, ooh, like even thinking about that was eye opening for me. So yeah, man. So I can see why they feel the way they feel so strongly about, you know, how people talk about him. But yeah, like I feel like. Also, when, you know, I was thinking we get to a point where you can be like, fuck it, I don't give a fuck what you think. I'm me. You know what I'm saying? But like we didn't understand like the levels it can go to, as far as like we couldn't comprehend having the world, you know, speaking about us in the ways that, you know, these guys are being spoken about. So yeah, man. I mean, even like dog, like shit, I'm like, fuck the Warriors, you know what I'm saying, in 2016, 2017 and shit. When we talked about how many games we watched, I probably have watched just as many Warriors games as Bron, if not more. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, what does that define me as? Nigga, I'm more of a fan than a hater. But on Twitter, I'm talking all shit. But Steph hit a 40-footer to beat KD, who was my second favorite player at the time, and I'm running around in my damn living room. You feel me? So, like, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I could. I mean, I get it, man. I get it.
Yeah. Last question for me, you know, they ended on a discussion of NBA families, you know, I think kind of correctly narrowed down to the Thompsons and the Holidays. Klay goes with the family pride answer. I understand that they got the rings, you know, they have some stylistic differences, but I got to go with the Holidays. How do y'all feel about it?
I don't know, man. Klay and Mikal with that inside out game, bro. They might be a problem, man. I don't know, bro. I don't know, man.
I don't have an opinion.
Really?
You want me to put? I don't.
I'm just surprised because I feel like the Holidays are so much more your style of, you know what I mean? Like when you talk about the things you value in basketball, that's so much more those kind of hoopers. And even when you saw him ask the question, Drew was excited to say, yeah, like line that shit up. Like, let me run, like we'll all run ones and we'll do a team tournament. You know what I mean?
I love both players a lot. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Klay, the way Klay just, when Klay gets hot, there is literally no human that's ever existed that can do anything with him. You feel me? And so, like, if he's, what, how many, was he 31 was it 31, 26 and a quarter? What was it? How many did he score in this quarter?
35.
37.
Yeah, 37 quarter.
Yeah, 30. Bro, if that Klay show up, good luck to anybody, brother.
I also appreciate that.
Nobody else on the court has that level. You know what I'm saying? Can touch and get that close to the sun. You feel me?
I also appreciate them taking a little shot at Steve Kerr with the, you know, if he would have let me really shoot in the game where I had 14 threes, you know, and he said, he's like, the record book should have the asterisk.
Yeah, you got to put that asterisk, minutes. 27, yeah. Yeah, I feel like the right answer for what family will win, it's Michael Jordan and Ant Edwards. That's who right there, that follows him. that's the answer, bro.
Bro, when I went to the game last night, there was an old dude sitting in front of me, right? And Ant had a moment where he used a little footwork, you know, hit a fadeaway off the glass. And me and the old nigga looked at each other like, we've seen that before, brother.
That's on the white.
And it was real
zone.
Scary. You know what I'm saying?
We were there in 1997.
We both looked at each other. And we rooted for the Lakers, obviously, right? We both looked at them, shake our head like, shit. Some people just nice. They bigger than rooting against, nigga. You know what I mean? I'm not going to see that and not root for that. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, that'll be Draymond's interview with Ant Edwards and Michael Jordan on a very special episode of the Draymond Green Show in 2037. But anyway, thanks everyone for listening. Like I said, this was a YouTube exclusive. If you're listening to this in your podcast feed, you could have heard it a day early at youtube.com/@JenkinsandJones. We will have more YouTube exclusives going up as we get towards the playoffs. So be sure you go subscribe today so you don't miss out. We'll be back on Thursday with our next regular episode. And we will see y'all then. Bye.
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 The Volume.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.